Once again, it's my privilege to welcome each and every one of you for this resurrection service of our Lord. I am so glad to see you all, but I could not see or found it from your faces. And one more request, those of you behind, please take your seats which are available in the front to give room for people, those who are standing. Thank you once again. We thank God for the provision what God made for us to be together in His house. You know, whenever we have a different gatherings, Saturday gathering, Thursday gathering, Monday gathering, and every gathering or a leadership gathering, every gathering is a unique. When I see we are coming together, it gives me a different way of, is my pleasure. It is not as a routine. It is not for saying sake. I mean it. It is from my heart. So I expect that from all of you. Whenever we see together as a God children, we should rejoice. Hello? The joy should be in us. And it has to be expressed in not just giving hands and greeting from your faces. Smile. At least smile at your neighbor now. Maybe because you come early morning, you are still in the sleepy mood. God will help us. You know, on the victory night, what was the topic? The theme? Praise opens the door. Actually, it was praise opened the prison door. There was a song. But today, the topic is the open tomb. Already it is open. The open tomb. Why? Every word has the meaning. There is no other tomb on this earth open. Hello? Always the tombs will be closed. The graves will be closed, sealed perfectly, and also with the concrete. None of the tomb or the grave is open. But only one tomb on this earth open still. That is tomb of Jesus. What we learn from this tomb? That is the message for today. So here together we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sign for the whole world, a open tomb. Shows that the power of God the Father. Our message is, Jesus is open tomb. And the open tomb is, from here what we know, what are the consequences. So here it emphasizes the significance of the empty tomb as a sign of Jesus' victory over death. And the promises of eternal life of believers. Victory over death, victory over sin, and all the promises for us is fulfilled because of the victory. So the message often includes a review of events surrounding the empty tomb, such as visit by Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, and other disciples, and the angels, messages to the woman, and it also touches on the importance of empty tomb in the Christian faith, as I explore the implications of the empty tomb for believers, encouraging them to live with joy, confidence, and unwavering hope. The empty tomb is a sign for us, for our joy, our confidence, and our unwavering faith, hope. Hope of our future. So let us see the consequences of the resurrection of Christ in the lives of people mentioned. Then we will compare that in our lives as well. And it is very, very important in the history of the world. And it is recorded in all four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know that from the Old Testament time, all the patriarchs were buried, and they were all in some, seven of them, and the other seven, they are in the caves. And what is the burial? Burial is under the ground. The tomb is above the level. Always it is elevated, mostly in the cave. So the cave of Jesus Christ is different because no one has kept inside. Okay, let's go turn to our Bible, to John, Gospel of John, chapter 20. I will select from verses 1 to 18. Verse 20, verse 1 to 3, or 2, I will read it. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." This was the message conveyed to the disciples. So it is not only Mary Magdalene, there are three other sisters. It is recorded in the Gospels, other Gospels, and Mary, mother of James, and other Mary, Salome, all are there. And here in this Gospel mention about Mary Magdalene, and there are many places she was mentioned, and about four places who she is, and we will come to know later. But now see that she has done the right thing, and immediately that message was conveyed to the closest disciple, Peter and John. Verse 3. So Peter and other disciples started for the tomb. 4. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Who is that? John. He bent over and looked at the striped linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Verse 8. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. We move on to, you understood it. You just imagine the dramatic portion of this scripture. Early morning, these sisters went and they wanted to prepare because it was hurry, it was late in the evening. That's why they have to bury in rush. It was kept in the in this cave or buried, or sorry, it was kept in that cave of Joseph of Arimathea. You know that all this is, but to prepare that, these sisters have gone. So let us see. Jesus appeared to Mary from verse 11. Then I will go one by one. There are four sequences what we are just glance. And verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over, looked into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, at one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," that means the teacher. When we go on, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Today, in this portion, 1 to 18, what we are learning is, I want to focus to raise the expectation. What is the issue or expectation? Or you could use the word anticipation. I want to use to understand that the concept expectation is a common. And what we think or say that we believe has to make long journey to our heart. Then we will allow Jesus to have a true lordship over our lives. So as you open your Bible, once again I go for verse 1 and 2, where it is what it is said. So here I titled this portion as a lack of expectation by Mary. Yeah, lack of expectation by Mary. What she is lacking, let's see. According to this, she is mentioned to all four, it was, as I said, all four Gospels. Mary was also mentioned in the story of Jesus at some of the most critical moments of the narrative. Mary was at the foot of the cross as Jesus died and was one of the last to live after his crucifixion. When you look at the other Gospels, all this, everybody, there are people, the soldiers who are here, the people who are there, there are people behind, but at the bottom of the foot of the Jesus, these ladies were sitting and they were crying. So this Mary is one among them too. So Mary would be the first one to hear to see and touch the resurrected Jesus. Verse 2, Luke 8 verse 2 says, we are told that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Mary was also a supporter of the ministry of Jesus. And even in the New Testament, even the epistles, her name is mentioned. She is a missionary. Mary was one of the last people, as I said, at the foot of the cross, watching the life flow out of Jesus. Mary watched the whole thing. She knew that Jesus was dead. What did Mary see hanging on the cross? Mark 15 verse 47. Let me read that for you. Mark 15 verse 47. And the Mary Magdalene and the Mary the mother of Jesus observed where he was laid. So they were all waiting. The so-called disciples ran away. But she is waiting till they take him from the cross until they bury. And she is watching and she is aware of where they are taking the body of Jesus Christ. So, what did all her sense tell her? They all told her Jesus was dead. Mary knew the teaching of Jesus. Jesus told his followers that he would die and raise in 3 days. It is recorded everywhere. Is it true? Is it true? Jesus told his disciples time and again, I will be crucified, I will die, but I will rise on the third day. When Jesus was teaching what would happen to him, his followers did not like to hear it, but they seemed to believe it, but they didn't. So what we see from Mary is a lack of expectation. How we say this? Matthew 28:1 says, tells us that Mary went to the tomb at the end of Sabbath, which would have been sometime between 3 to 6 a.m. We came at the end of the time, 6 a.m. here. The reason she was heading to tomb was the fact that Jesus died just before the Sabbath. Because of the timing of his death, the disciples had to get Jesus to the tomb in a hurry. So they could not properly prepare the body for the tomb. So Mary and some of the women, as I said, were going to make sure to take care of the body of Jesus properly. Why was Mary going to the tomb? Properly to prepare the dead body of Jesus Christ. If she believed in what Jesus taught her, do you want to know why she was doing this? Do you want to know? It was because she had no expectation of what Jesus thought concerning his resurrection was going to happen. She didn't think about all those things. Even she too didn't expect that Jesus will rise. That is why she came with all the spices to prepare the dead body and prepare it and set it properly, since it was not done in the evening in a hurry. That's why her expectation is not to see Jesus there risen, but she came to see the dead body and to prepare that body. according to their custom. So in that way, they saw Jesus die on the cross. But what Jesus told them did not matter. They saw him dying. We also know the disciples were hiding in fear that they were next. In the sense, they may be all crucified as well. That's why they are all ran. So it was not expected by even, so Mary is not exempted to not expect the resurrection of our Lord, or neither she remember what Jesus said. So when you live with no expectation that Jesus did not indeed rise from the dead, it will change how you live your life. When Mary gets to the tomb, she is not rejoicing over the empty tomb because she believed that Jesus has defeated the death. No, she was not rejoicing. So you may be just thinking, how can he say that Mary is not not been there without any expectation, not believing in God's word, or not believing that Jesus is risen? One sign is, when Mary gets to the tomb, she is not rejoicing. Rather, she was crying over there. And she is far. In that two verses, we find Mary runs and she was weeping. But at the same time, her action was about somebody else taken. Immediately, the good thing what she has done is, immediately, she ran to Peter and John, telling them, someone has took the body. When she says, they, she probably refers to either the Jewish or a Roman leadership, or possibly someone else who wanted to discredit or defile the body. Let's see how Peter and John responded to Mary. Let us turn to our Bible 2, verse 3 to 10. John chapter 3, so 20, verses 3 to 10. So we know for sure Mary Magdalene is unexpected, or she is a lack of expecting Jesus' resurrection. After hearing many times from Jesus, still she was not. Okay, 3 to 10. Then Peter and the other disciples set out to the tomb. The two were running together, but I will not repeat the scriptures, but all of you know that. So verse 10, so the disciple went back to their home. They came. Let us see what they have done. The Mary brings the news to Peter and John. The tomb was empty. As we read, Peter ran, followed by John, and they have seen they are called, so-called, the closest disciple among the 12. See, she has chosen the right people. And the message was conveyed. And what has happened? Their responses. So they thought, at least, okay, forget about. Mary Magdalene was not expecting the Jesus Christ is risen. And she went. She is a woman, okay. But what happened to the disciples, the closest disciples, the one who is always close to his heart, the John? What they happened, what they believed it? Peter and John ran to the tomb. They are not expecting the resurrection as well. I wonder what was going through their minds when Mary told them the news. Of all the disciples, Peter and John should have been bolding and encouraging the other disciples not to lose heart that Jesus will rise on the third day. Instead, they were fearful of being next. they were fearful of their life. When you live for your life with no expectation that Jesus will really do what he says or that he is truly alive today, you will live in doubt and fear, and your faith will give you no joy. What is there to be joyful about? You live, you die, and it is over. For Peter and John, the disciples, they lived, they loved, they were taught, and Jesus died, game over. No, Israel is sitting on top. More decades in bondage to Rome. No hope, no future, no joy. All of those things died on the cross. What is their response is? When John enters the tomb, of course he has seen the burial cloth as she has seen. But apart from that, she has seen, and the cloth was, Peter sees the same thing. After him, he entered. Verse 9 tells that they still did not understand that Jesus was going to rise. But he has already risen from the dead. What do Peter and John do? They went back to their homes. When you have no expectation, Jesus doing what he says, that he is alive, you will also go back as they have went back. Nothing changes. You do not change. So in that case, what has happened to them? They take it lightly. They went back to their home. They also not expected the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing changed them. Even though they have seen the empty tomb, all the clothes lying there, never ever they remember what Jesus taught to them. About other people, when he thought about these things, they said, it is very hard teaching. We cannot believe it. But these people, silently, along with him, throughout his days on the earth, keeping silent. But when the time came, they ran away. Even after the message was given, why they ran to see the tomb? Maybe to confirm that what Mary said is true or not. But they never remember about the word of Jesus Christ about his resurrection. After confirming the empty tomb, still their mind is not working. Still they are fearful of their life. They ran to their homes. That's what the scripture says. Verse 9. They went back to their home. Okay, let's move on to verse 11 to 16. From verse 11 to 16. In this, there are many things we can understand. 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. She wept. She bent down to the same thing. Verse 12. She saw two angels. That is a new thing. Two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying. One at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary replied, "They have taken my Lord away and I do not know where they have put him." Still she is concerning about preparing the body. She is worrying about somebody has taken. Okay, verse 14. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. How sad it is. That's why time and again we used to encourage from here, when you worship, sense the presence of God is there. You should have a vision that whenever we worship, what is the atmosphere here? Even in the early days, I used to have that. The angels run in this hall before. The angels going around here and this side and coming out. We should have that open-mindedness, sensitivity in our spirit. Even see that even Jesus stood beside, she could not recognize that is Jesus. Same thing happened as he was alive. When he walked on the water, even they were struggling in the midnight. He was praying on the mountain top. He has seen them even in the dark. They were struggling. He is our God. Even when you are in darkness, he will see us in the light. When you are in trouble, he will be there with you. Even in that situation, what has happened? When he walked as a stranger crossing them, again they were fearful, thinking that it is a ghost. That kind of disciples he had all 33 years. We are disciples. How is our faith? How is our visual understanding? How is our faith on Jesus? What is our faith in the scriptures? We hear and we hear and read and read. How is our faith? How far? What is the level of our measure of our faith? Our love. How can we measure our love for Jesus? Our faith in Jesus. That's why in his time he said there are different people he met. Some of them he said, oh, you are having little faith. Someone he said, oh, you have a great faith. Some of them said, oh, your faith is heal you. So even in faith, there are different levels. Ordinary faith, little faith, higher faith, great faith. What faith we have? Here, see that Mary Magdalene, standing there, Jesus stood beside. She could not recognize that he is Jesus. Okay, let's move on. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? The same statement, the sentence, what the angel has said. Who are you looking for? Because she thought that he was the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will take him. She is not looking for risen Jesus. Still she is looking for the body, dead body of Jesus. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said, the voice. She recognized the voice. Immediately she turned and said, Rabuni, the teacher. So that was even the disciples' unexpected awe. The not only Mary Magdalene was the lack of expectation, and even the disciples were under lack of expectations. Thirdly, a great revelation for Mary. Mary is back at the tomb. Is Mary is full of joy? No. She is crying, as I said, outside. Then she bent down. She has seen. Just I am repeating what is highlighting the word she understood. Mary is so full of grief and she could not see who is standing beside or to her. when we live with no expectation of Jesus, we will miss it when He does His work in our life. We may be praying. We may be wanted to see Him. I do not know how far, how long, how many times we desire to see Him face to face, or expect Him to reveal to us personally. I do not know. But if you desire that, God is faithful. He will reveal. He will stand before you. See, nowadays there are so many testimonies. Non-Christians, Muslims, they have vision of Jesus Christ that changes their life. But we are the followers of Christ for many years. How many times we have seen Jesus in our life? Not in works, in deeds and what we receive. What we have today, it is not the only sign that God blessed us and God is with us. That is not the only thing. Confirms that God is with us. There's no doubt, God is with us. God is with us forever. All these things according to what God said. His promises. But personally, how many times we experience Him speaking to us? He will reveal. He will stand beside. He will come in dreams. He will speak. That's why time and again emphasizing, hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Not from the pulpit. God has to speak to you in your spirit. That will strengthen you. That will confirm that we are believing and worshiping the living God, the risen Christ. Okay, let's go. A great revelation for Mary. What is the great revelation? Mary received the great revelation. How is it? Chapter 20, verse 17 to 18. Jesus replied, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brothers and tell them. Go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." See the closeness? See the intimacy? Even in word, in His words, we can sense it. We have only one Father. The Father of Jesus is our Father. So He said, we are brothers along with Jesus Christ. He is our brother and we are brothers as well. So Mary Magdalene, what happened to her? Came and informed the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." See the statement. "I have seen the Lord." She didn't stop it. And she told them what Jesus had said to her. See the obedience of Mary Magdalene. She has seen, received, she heard, she went without fail, told them what she has seen and what she has heard from Jesus Christ. Any mistake there? Any mistake there? So that is the great revelation for Mary by our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, fourthly, a great expectation from Jesus. Mary is excited. She is clinging to Jesus. He tells her not to touch, as you know. But what is the commission? Go and tell. She has done it. And by our faith, we show confidence in the resurrection and the actions of loving others, demonstrating a culture of repentance and forgiveness. Verse 23, and showing faith in the face of adversity, we can be a signpost pointing others to Christ. What is the purpose of we believing in Jesus Christ? How, what way we differ from others? So is it not the same experience, or the commission what was given to Mary is given to us? And what is the expectation of our Lord Jesus from us? The same thing. Mary was told to go and tell the disciples. But we are given the same command in the Great Commission. Matthew 28 verse 18. Then Jesus came up and said to them, all authority in heaven and the earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. When you live with expectations concerning Jesus, you will fulfill His great expectations of you. As a conclusion, the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate sign that God is not against us, but for us. God is for us. When Jesus rose from the dead, God visibly demonstrated two truths to the world. Number one, that punishment for sin is not the end of the story, but there is something good on the other side of Jesus' death. And that God wants a relationship with us forever. Our God is God of relationship. Amen. Always He looks and desires and longing to have a relationship with every one of us. Amen. Let this resurrection day remind us again, our God is looking for relationship. Amen. Even if you have forgotten whatever you heard or celebrating the resurrection day year after year. That's why when we are having communion, we remember the death, His burial, resurrection, and coming of the Lord. That is our faith. That's why time and again we exercise. It is not like others. Once in a while we remember the resurrection of the Lord. We remember every day in our life. We should. Even if you have forgotten, at least once in a month, when we come, we remember the resurrection of the Lord and His coming of the Lord. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of your Christian faith. A powerful event that transforms lives and secures our eternal hope. Last thing, just quickly I will mentioned it to you. All of you, just open 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From 14 onwards, 14 to 19. Why are you checking this? If Christ was not raised from the dead, what will happen? What will be our positions? Let us go through it. Number one, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Our faith, your faith is also empty. The preaching is nothing. Our faith in Jesus is nothing. Verse 15, yes. We are found false witnesses. Whatever we witness about Christ will be false. Paul is writing about them as an apostle. A witness of God. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. 18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If our faith is only for this world, for these things, that's why the gospel, if Christ is not risen, the gospel preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. The apostles were false witnesses. We are still living our sins. Believers have perished at our death. Christians are to be pitied for it. Because we believe in false Messiah, if he is not risen. Because our faith in him leads us to refrain from much worldly pleasures. So many consequences if Christ is not risen. Indeed, Christ is risen. It is not he is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Let's go to the other part of it. God bless you.